71 and 72 tonight, talking about young or old. And let's begin tonight in Psalm 70, where David writes to the chief musician, a psalm of David, to bring to remembrance. So that's Psalm 70. That's where we're going to begin tonight. So David starts out, in a way, what we're doing tonight. Lord, we're going to remember the Lord tonight in his table. Amen. But David starts out and says, oh Lord, whatever you do, remember me. Don't forget me, oh Lord. So once again, we find David, as he has so often in the Psalms, what is he doing? He's praying to God to be delivered from his enemies, beginning in verse 1. He says, make haste, oh God. He says, to deliver me. Make haste to help me, oh Lord. David, in this psalm, in verse 5 and here, he cries out three times to the Lord. He says, oh Lord, make haste. Have you ever been like that? Lord, would you hurry up? You seem a little slow. I need you to do something today, not tomorrow. Amen? Have you ever been there? Yeah, like when we were cold. You know, you were praying for the rolling power that never rolled your way. You understand? And the colder you got, the more you prayed. You couldn't even open your Bible. You were so cold. You know what I mean? That's what I was praying. Lord, now. How about now? 1 hour. That's all I want. Just 1 hour of heat, and I'll be happy. 1 hour to make a cup of coffee. You know what I'm saying? Are y'all with me? Yes. Let them be ashamed and confounded who seek my life, and let them be turned back, confused who desire my hurt. I love the Message translation. It says, Lord, send them down a blind alley. That's great. Let them be turned back because of their shame, who say, aha, aha. In other words, they're mocking David. And let all those, here it comes, and let all those, that includes us, who seek you, rejoice, be glad in you. And let those who love your salvation say continually, let God be magnified. Not just let God be magnified, but continually, ongoing, say, oh God, be magnified. But I am poor, I'm needy. Make haste. Hurry, Lord. Make haste to me, oh God. You are my help and my deliverer. Oh Lord, do not delay. You know, David said, let all those who seek you rejoice and be glad. Why? That's faith, isn't it? That's the faith of David. Listen, there's something happens when we seek the Lord. The Bible says in Hebrews 11, 6, it says, but without faith it's impossible to please God, that for he is we must believe that he is, and that he is, present tense, a rewarder of those who diligently what? Who seek him. Loved one, listen, did you seek the Lord today? Did you have your quiet time? You know, it's so easy right now in the midst of all that's going on. It seems like our normal rhythm of life has been so disrupted, hasn't it? And so it seems like we're out of sync. Some of you, maybe you're feel the same way I do. It's like your days are running together, or you forget which day it is. You know, your trash day, for example, they changed that. Now it's not Wednesday, it was this day. Now you forget to put it back out. You know what I'm saying? Things like, are y'all... Yes, it seems like everything is just turned upside down, but the kingdom of God is not turned upside down. Now look at Psalm 71. It has no title of one. It's been called, this is really our main text tonight. It's been called a psalm for old age. Now, if you're old tonight, this is going to be for you. Or it's been called a prayer for the aged believer. So when you think about life, James calls life what? He says, we're nothing but a vapor, and we're here for just a little while, and then we vanish away. Amen? Isn't life so quick? You're young, and you could be then 70 or 75, but you still feel mentally 18. Not your body, mentally. Or maybe you don't even know what you are anymore. I don't know at that age, but you might not even care. But when I think about this, Moses' prayer, remember in Psalm 90, when he talks about that life is so short, and by means of strength, maybe we're going to make 70, maybe 80 and so forth. And he says, oh, teach us to number our days that we might apply our heart to wisdom. That's an important word, not our months, not our years, but apply our days. Verse 1, Psalm 71, David cries out, I'm sorry, I'm not for sure who this is. It says, in you, O Lord, I put my trust. Now listen to what he says. Let me never be put to shame, or let me never be put to confusion. Did you know that can happen sometimes when you're older? You can become confused. Have you ever walked out of Kroger, or have you ever walked out of a department store and you walk out and you know where you parked your car, but you look out there and you go, where am I? And it's like it's a whole foreign world. And, you know, that's why God allowed people to invent the fob. You know, you know what I'm saying? Or the iPhone. You can locate your car. You know, am I right? Yeah, that's why when you look around at kids today, if they don't have an iPhone, they don't even know how to get around in this life. They're confused. No, listen, I don't want to be confused. It's a terrible thing to be confused. It's a crazy feeling. The other day, I walked into the office, and I was Merlinda and Cisco, all the rest of them, and I had a sermon in my hand that I wanted to file, and I was saying to Merlinda, I forget what it was, I said, where is my file on Genesis? I can't find it. I need to put this my sermon in there. And she goes, Bill, that sermon is not for Genesis. It's for Philippians. And I went, you know how that made me feel? I was certain it was a sermon from Genesis, and we're not even in Genesis. Never mind. Are y'all with me tonight? Come on, my contacts are not even working. I can't even see your faces. No, he's talking about old age right here. He says, oh, deliver me in your righteousness. Cause me to escape. Incline your ear to me. Save me. Be my strong refuge to which I may resort. How long? All the time, continually. You have given the commandment to save me. For you are my rock. Look at all these pronouns. My rock, my fortress. Deliver me, O my God, out of the hand of the wicked, out of the hand of the unrighteous and cruel man. Spurgeon said, blessed is the man who can use the personal pronoun my. That's a good word, isn't it? God is my rock, my refuge, my strength. Is he yours? Yes, he is, loved one. Oh, listen, you know, in the song of Moses, in Deuteronomy 32:3, Moses speaking to the children of Israel, he says, oh, I proclaim the name of the Lord. I ascribe greatness to our God. He is the rock, meaning he never changes. He can never be shaken. He can never be moved. His work is perfect, for all of his ways are justice, a God of truth and without injustice. Righteous, upright is he. King David said, put it this way in Psalm 18:2, the Lord is my rock. The Lord is my fortress. The Lord is my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my shield, my horn, my salvation, my stronghold. Is that a great confession? Oh, Lord, he says, for who is God except the Lord? And who is the rock except our God? It is God who arms me with strength and makes my way perfect. The Lord lives. Did you know Jesus is alive, loved one? He's with us right now. He's going to be with us as we celebrate his table tonight. He says, oh, the Lord lives. Blessed be my rock. Let the God of my salvation be exalted. Aren't you glad that Jesus is our rock tonight? Remember what the Lord said in Matthew 7:24? He says, therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken them unto a wise man who built his house on the what? On the rock. And it says, Jesus said, and the rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew, and it beat on that house. It didn't fall. And here's the reason. For it was founded on the rock. If you look back at verse 3, the psalmist says, be my strong refuge to which I may resort continually. You know, I am so thankful every day, I'm always thankful that we are accepted at the throne of grace because of Jesus. And you can go there and you can find help, you can find mercy in time of need, and you can obtain it. Amen? Oh, you're never barred. The door is always open by the blood of Jesus. Now look at this transitions in life. It says in verse 5, "For you are my hope, O Lord God. You are my trust from my what? From my youth." Seneca said this about youth. He said, "Youth well spent is the greatest comfort of old age." If you're a teen here tonight, you should let me read that to you again. Youth well spent, being a teenager, your teenage years well spent is the greatest comfort of old age. There is nothing greater than for a person, a young boy, a young girl, to grow up in a Christian home. Amen? To grow up in a home where Jesus is loved and where the Bible is taught. And blessed is that young man, oh man, that knows and trusts the Lord as a teen, as a youth. That meaning that you really know the Lord. Not just about the Lord. Not just a bunch of head knowledge and facts, but you intimately know him in your heart and you truly trust him. Boy, I'll tell you, I wish I had known that when I was a teenager. Amen? The psalmist is saying here that God did not forsake me when I was young, and God will not forsake me when I am old. Remember what David said in Psalm 37, 25? He says, "I've been young, and now I'm old. Yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his descendants begging bread." Jacob, as he was on his deathbed speaking to his sons, he said this in Genesis 48, 15. He says, "Oh, the Lord God, who has fed me all my life long to this day." And look at Psalm 71, verse 6, loved one. You need to really ponder this verse. The psalmist says, "By you I have been upheld from what? From birth." Think about that. And he says, "You are he who took me out of my mother's womb, and my praise shall be continually of you." I didn't know that God was in the delivery room when I was born. Did you know that? No, you didn't know. Maybe your parents knew, but you didn't know that at all. Before your mother and your father held you or kissed you or named you, any of those things, we were upheld, it says, right there by the power of God. God brought us, it says, out of the womb. Now listen, before we ever knew anything about God. That is, to me, verse 6 is staggering. You remember what the psalmist said in Psalm 139, 13? It says, "For you," meaning God, "you formed me," or "you created my inward parts. You covered me in my mother's womb," or "you knit me together," you and so forth. Jeremiah 1, 5, when God called Jeremiah, God says to Jeremiah, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you." That word "knew" is yada, meaning intimately. Everything about you, your whole, everything you are, God says, "I knew you before I formed you in the womb. Before you were born," God says to Jeremiah, "I sanctified you. I set you aside for my service." He says, "I ordained you," or appointed you, "a prophet to the nations." Think about that. God called him. God set him apart. God ordained him before he was ever born. But you know what? God's done the same thing for us. Amen? Remember in Ephesians, what is it? Ephesians 1, 4, that God chose us in him, meaning Jesus, before the very foundation of the earth. Jesus told us that, "Hey, you didn't choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear much fruit." Oh, loved one, listen, when I start thinking about those things and how God in Ephesians 2:10 has, we're his masterpiece, he has created each of us for good works before the foundation of this earth. And see, God knows everything. He has the plan, all that's going on. Even Paul the Apostle said in Galatians 1:15, "But when it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb before I was ever born," he says, "call me through his grace." The psalmist has said in Psalm 139, 16 about the Lord and about our birth. It says, "Your eyes saw my substance," or my embryonic mass, if you will, "yet being unformed. And in your book they are all written, the days fashioned for me. And when as yet there was none of them." No one has ever written a book about me on this earth, not even a short story. The only record I have is probably at the police department about getting tickets or running a red light, you know? No, but here, listen now, God has written a book about you that covers every day of your life before you ever lived one of them. That is staggering to me. Loved one, listen, the God who loves you, the God who sent his only begotten son to die in our place and to take and bear the sin of the world, listen, you know what he did? He fashioned us. He fashioned you and only you for a specific purpose. And some of the plans that God has for you, for example, I don't know all the plans for you, but I know what the Bible says. It says that you're the light of the world, amen? You're the salt of the earth. You're the fishers of men. You're the ambassadors for Christ Jesus, our Lord. And look at verse 7. He says, I've become a wonder to many, but you are my strong refuge. Let my mouth be filled with your praise and with your glory all the day. Boy, I'll tell you, that's what I desire. Amen. Listen, we're talking about young or old right here. In other words, if we keep this in context, you know what the psalmist is saying? I don't want to be a complainer. I don't want to be a murmurer. I don't want to be an old, complaining, fault-finding, bitter senior citizen. Amen. I don't want that. I want to be Dick Clark, you know? You don't even know who Dick Clark is, do you? Remember the world's oldest teenager? American Bandstand? Oh, well, forget it. That shows you, see, you're not old yet. No, listen. He says, look at him now. Do not cast me off in the time of what? Old age. And here it is. Very important word. Do not forsake me. What a word. Don't forsake me, Lord. He's don't forsake me when my strength fails. You know, I mean, does God say about us, let's just use me. Does God say, well, there's old Bill. He's getting older. He's kind of worn out. You know what I mean? His time is running out. You know, it's time to find a young, hip, tight t-shirt, skinny jeans that are ripped to pieces on the knees. A cool talking dude, pastor. Oh, listen, that's not what God does. He says, don't forsake me. Now, listen, when you get older, whether you like it or not, unless you're Arnold Schwarzenegger, okay, when you get older, we do get physically weaker, okay? Raul and I, we were out at the fountain. We got back online yesterday afternoon and got it all cleaned out and make sure there was nothing broken, you know, stuff like that. And you know, we were going to take the filter off, you know, and I kind of grabbed it and I went, I can't do this. I said, you do it. Raul, are you here? Yeah. Praise the Lord. And so after I figured out that I just said, leave it, you know, and we'll just wash it out with the hose. You know, there's certain things. And, you know, but when I was younger, I could go out with one arm, break that thing, man. But when you get older, then you hurt because you did that. Because you don't, you know, and you're going, oh, am I having a heart attack? I feel this, you know, but you pull those muscles, man. You're not using them. You understand? And so he says, look at it again. He says, listen, don't cast me off in time of old age. Don't forsake me when my strength fails. We may get older, of course, and physically weaker, but that doesn't mean that we're spiritually weak. See, our faith grows, amen? We're going from glory to glory, loved one. The Bible, Paul the Apostle in 2 Corinthians 4:16, what did he say? He says, don't lose heart, don't be discouraged, don't faint, don't give up. He said, listen, even though our outward man is perishing, our inward man is being renewed day by day. How do you keep your inner man, your inner spirit man, how do you keep it strong? The Word of God. You renew your mind to the Word of God. That's your manna, amen? That's like taking vitamins, gospel. You know what I mean? The gospels. You know what I'm saying? That's all the vitamins you need. And if you want to work out, just lift 66 books of the Bible every day. That's all you have to do, and you'll be strong, amen? And that's what that's talking about. Remember it in Joshua chapter 14, verse 10. Remember there Caleb. And boy, Caleb, what a great man of God. Remember Caleb and Joshua? They were the 12 spies, or part of the 12 spies that went to spy out the promised land. Joshua and Caleb were the only two who said, we can take them. These giants, we're not afraid of them. They're going to be bread for us. Remember? What happened to Caleb and Joshua? They had to travel with a bunch of murmurers and people that walked in they were not faithful for 40 years in the wilderness. And it says this, Caleb said in Joshua 14:10, now he says, behold, the Lord has kept me alive these 45 years, ever since the Lord spoke this word to Moses and while Israel wandered in the wilderness. Listen to what he says. Now here I am this day. I'm 85 years old. Yet as I am, I'm just as strong this day on the day that Moses sent me. Just as my strength was then, so it is now my strength for war, both for going out, coming in. Therefore, give me this mountain. In other words, give me my inheritance. It belongs to me in the promised land. He says, which the Lord spoke to me on that day. You know what Caleb did? He's 85 years old. And he looks at Joshua and he says, I want that mountain. It was Hebron, you know, or whatever. He says, I want that. He says, I want the land that belongs to me that the 10 spies were so afraid to take. That's what he was saying right there. And you know what God did? If you read the whole story, God gave Caleb the very land that he spied out 45 years earlier. He was part of the team. Remember when they carried there in what was an Eshcol or whatever, and those big old grapes, and they brought them back, remember? And they said, oh, look, the fruit, look at it, oh, and all the stuff. Well, he inherited it. And matter of fact, Caleb at 85, he was the only one who got claimed all of his inheritance and drove out all of the enemy from his land. Why? Because for 45 years, Caleb lived on that one promise that God gave him, that you can have your inheritance. Loved one, you can build your life on the promises of God because they never fail. And God, he cannot lie. Amen. He says, oh, for my enemies speak against me and those who lie in wait to take counsel together, saying, God has forsaken him. Pursue and take him, for there is none to deliver him. Oh God, do not be far from me. Oh my God, make haste to help me. And let them be confounded and consumed who are adversaries of my life. And let them be covered with reproach and dishonor who seek my hurt. Now watch this. But I will hope continually and will praise you yet more and more. And my mouth shall tell of your righteousness and your salvation all the day, for I do not know their limits, and I will go in the strength of the Lord God and will make mention of your righteousness, of yours only. Verse 17, key verse. O God, you have taught me from my what? From my youth. Do you know that youth need to be taught the word of God? Amen. He says, you've taught me from my youth to this day. He's old now. To this very day, I declare your wonderful works or your wondrous works. Life is a big transition. You've heard me say many times, life is from A to B, from birth to death, the time we go home to be with the Lord. And here he says, from my youth to this very day, you've taught me. The psalmist has written in Psalm 119:102, I have not departed from your judgments, for you yourself, O God, you have taught me. How does that really happen with young kids? How are they taught? It happens because of godly parents. Amen? The Bible says in Deuteronomy 6:7, when Moses was instructing the second generation of what they must do to their families when they enter into the promised land, he said, you shall teach your children diligently and talk of them when you sit in your home, meaning the word of God. And you talk when you on your way and when you lie down and when you rise up. Now look at verse 18, another transition. Now also when I am old and gray-headed, I'm going to tell you all about my aches and my pains, right? No. He says, when I am old and gray-headed, O God, and here he says this again, this is twice now. He says, do not forsake me. Well, he says, do not forsake me until what? My bucket list is complete? No. Until I declare your strength to this generation and your power to everyone who is to come. You know, what would happen if every gray-headed person in this church, or even those who color their hair and it's not gray anymore, you know, what would happen that every older and able believer at Calvary Chapel would rise up and declare to our generation at this church about God's strength and God's power, that would go and help at Haltom Christian School, that would go and help and teach in the kids' church. You know, that's what he says there. He says, oh, listen, I don't have a bucket list. Man, I want to declare your strength to this generation and your power to everyone who is to come. Do not forsake me. You know, God is not going to forsake us. Amen. And not, no more than the psalmist. It says in Isaiah 46:4, it says, even to your old age, I am he. Even to your gray hairs, I will carry you. I have made and I will bear, even I will carry and deliver you. Listen, our God who loves us is concerned about us from the cradle to the grave. Amen. Even at the point of death. You know, the Bible says precious in his sight is the death of his saints. He is right there the whole time. And he takes us home to be with him forever and ever and ever. Listen, God's commitment for you and for me never changes. He's all, you know, the Lord is really carrying us right now. He's the one who's carrying us through the pandemic. He's the one that's carrying us through the Snowmageddon, or whatever you call that freezing nightmare. You know what I'm saying? And it doesn't matter what the day or night may bring. It could be good things and bad things, love them. But listen, God is carrying us. He's not only that, he carried our sorrows. He carries our sins as far as the east is from the west, loved one. He says in verse 19, also your righteousness, O God, is very high, or literally it's unsearchable. You who have done great things, O God, who is like you? You have shown me great and severe troubles shall revive me again and bring me up again from the depths of the earth. Listen to this now. You shall increase my greatness and comfort me on every side. What a great verse. God says, I comfort you on every side. What are you going through tonight? If you look to the front, your front, guess who's there comforting you? God. If you look to your backside, who's comforting you? God. You're surrounded by God to the left and to the right. He is the God of all comfort who comforts you in all of your tribulations. Amen? Amen. Listen, he is right there with each of us right this minute. But listen to me. Are you old? See, there's that tendency when you get older that you kind of just slow down. And there's nothing wrong with that, man. I'm in that slow down stage. I don't mind. I like my lazy boy. You've heard me what I've said about it. My image is engraved into that lazy boy, man. It fits me perfectly. I love it. It's all raggedy, and I will not let my wife throw it away. It's my favorite chair. It's my nap chair. And now it's becoming my prayer chair. You know, I seem to pray better in my lazy boy. I don't know why, you know? But here's the deal. Listen, love one, you know, God not only does that, but look what it says if you're old. I love this. It says, yes, Lord, increase, or you shall increase my greatness. Think about that. In your old age. In other words, you know, like someone said, let's believe that the best is yet to come. Amen? He says in verse 22, oh, also with the lute, I'll praise you. And your faithfulness, oh my God, to you I'm going to sing with the harp. Oh, Holy One of Israel, my lips shall greatly rejoice when I sing to you, and my soul, which you have redeemed. My tongue shall also talk of your righteousness all the day long, for they are confounded, for they are brought to shame who seek my hurt. Now let's look at Psalm 72, and we'll finish this one up, and then we're going to celebrate the Lord's table tonight. This one, now I want you to notice that it's called a Psalm of Solomon. Now there are only two psalms that are ascribed to Solomon in the Psalms here, and then Psalm 127. But although it's called a Song of Solomon, it's not really. It's Actually, it's a psalm David has prayed or written to his son Solomon. And we know that by going to the very end of the psalm in verse 20, it tells us who the author is. And of course, it's David, the son of Jesse. So let's begin in verse 1. David writes, he prays, he says, "Give the king," meaning Solomon here, "give the king your judgments, O God, and your righteousness to the king's sons." He says, "He will judge your people with righteousness and your poor with justice." So these are the words spoken by David to his son Solomon. Give him that divine ability, O Lord. Anoint him so he can judge righteously. And look at the results of that kind of judgment in verse 3. It says, "The mountains will bring peace to the people, the little hills by righteousness. He will bring justice to the poor of the people. He'll save the children of the needy. He'll break or crush the pieces in pieces the oppressor. They shall fear you as long as the sun and moon endure. Throughout all generations, he shall come down like rain upon the grass before mowing, like showers that water the earth. In his days, the righteous shall flourish," that abounding prosperity, "and abundance of peace," and look how long, "until the moon is no more." Now, the problem here is that it's impossible for this planet to have true peace because there's not righteousness. Do you understand? The Bible tells us in Psalm of Proverbs 14:34, "Righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is an reproach to any people." So this psalm here is now speaking about someone greater than Solomon, loved one. Look at verse 5 again. "They shall fear you as long as the sun and moon endure," and for how long? "Throughout all generations." So this is not talking about a human king, if you will, or Solomon. This is talking about the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Amen? In other words, he will endure through all generations. That's the millennial reign, the thousand-year reign of Christ when he returns. He'll have dominion from sea to sea, from the river to the ends of the earth. And those who dwell in the wilderness, look what they're going to do. Bow before him. "His enemies will lick the dust, and the kings of Tarshish and of the isles will bring presents. And the kings of Sheba," now that's present-day Yemen there in southwest Arabia, I believe it is, and Sheba will offer gifts. Yes, watch this now. "All kings shall fall down before him. All nations shall serve him." Well, that can't be speaking of Solomon, amen? Besides, Solomon is going to be too busy marrying women, all right? And so we know that's not going to happen. "And for he will deliver the needy when he cries, and the poor also, and him who has no helper. He will spare the poor, the needy, save souls of the needy. He will redeem their life from oppression and violence. And precious shall be blood in his sight," meaning when our Lord rules in righteousness. And watch verse 15 through 19. It says, "And he," meaning Jesus, "he will live, and the gold of Sheba will be given to him, and prayer also will be made for him continually, and daily he shall be praised, and there will be an abundance of grain on the earth. On the top of the mountains its fruit shall wave like Lebanon, and those of the city shall flourish like grass of the earth. His name shall endure forever." Man, we know who he's talking about, amen? "His name shall endure forever. His name shall continue as long as the sun, and men shall be blessed in him, and all nations shall call him blessed. Blessed be the God," or "blessed be the Lord God, the God of Israel, who only does wondrous things, and blessed be his glorious name forever and ever. And let the whole earth be filled with his glory. Amen and amen." David, man, he is praying for Solomon, and he goes off into the prophetic realm, doesn't he, in this great psalm. Listen, there's not a greater name in all of the universe than the name of Jesus. Amen? Oh, you shall call his name Jesus, the angel told Joseph, and he shall save his people from their sins. Loved one, listen, the Bible tells us, we just studied it not too long ago in Philippians 2:9, therefore God has highly exalted Jesus and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, those in heaven, those on earth, those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. In the earth, on the earth, under the earth, three inhabited places, loved one. Oh, what a day that's going to be. And those who bow now, that means they're saved. That means salvation. Those who bow then, it means condemnation, loved one. No, Acts 4:12, there is only one name given among men under heaven by which they must be saved, and that is the name of Jesus Christ. Religion won't save you. Being good won't save you, but Jesus will save you, amen, and make you a brand new creation. It says in John 20:31, but these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name. Verse 20, and the prayers of David. Isn't it funny that he's penning this? He doesn't say David the king. He doesn't say David the sweet psalmist of Israel. He doesn't say David the mighty general and warrior. He just says, I'm just David. I'm the son of Jesse. The prayers of David, the son of Jesse, are ended. Now, don't be confused with this verse right here. This is not the last prayer of David. Did you know that? Very important that you see that. See, the reason I say that, because as we're leaving one book now and going to another book of Psalms. Well, there's 18 more Psalms that David has penned, all right, that we haven't studied yet. And so what this really means is that his prayers are ended in this section of the Psalms. This is book 2. When we get to Psalm 73, we enter into book 3 of the Psalms. Now, does that make sense? Now, as the elements are being passed out tonight, listen very carefully. Our hearts are prepared. Amen? You know, it's so wonderful that we can gather, whether there's 3 of us, 2 of us, or 100 of us. Amen? That we can gather together and celebrate the table of the Lord. And you know, tonight, loved one, listen, I want the Lord to fill us again, don't you? I mean, we need, the Bible commands us, by the way, in Ephesians 5:18, be ye being filled with the Spirit, meaning the Holy Spirit of God. That's a command. Every day we can be refilled with the Spirit of God. But there are times when we need a sovereign move of God. We didn't ask, we didn't pray, but God's love, he just blows in, amen, and we sense the manifested presence of God. I pray that's what happens tonight as we celebrate communion together. It says, you know, in Psalm, but in Corinthians 11:24, and when he had given thanks, it says that Jesus, he broke bread and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. He says, do this in remembrance of me. That's like David was saying, oh, Lord, don't forget me. Even our Lord is saying, don't forget me. Don't forget me. Don't ever forget me. How could we ever forget the Lord? He says, I want you to remember all that my death means, how I took your place, took my place, died your death, bore the sin of the world, amen, and carried our sins as far as the east is from the west, and remembers our sins no more. That's a true word from God. Again, Romans 8:1, therefore there is now no judgment, no condemnation. We are declared innocent to those who are in Christ Jesus our Lord. I'm so thankful for that. And he says in verse 25, in the same manner he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is a new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. Tonight, we're not only one body, one family. We not only proclaim our unity that we have. The only true people who have unity in the whole universe is the church. But you know what's wonderful to know? That this blood of the new covenant, is taking away our sins. We have a better covenant based on better promises and a better mediator, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And not only that, we know that we were redeemed tonight, not with corruptible things like silver and gold and so forth, but with the precious blood of the Lamb. And it is precious. It washes away every sin. Thank God for that. And not only that, loved one, we know that without the shedding of blood, there is absolutely no remission of sin. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim, or literally you preach, the Lord's death until he comes. So we look back, as I say, every communion, and we thank the Lord for all that he's done for us, his death on the cross, tasting death for everyone, bearing our sin. And then we look ahead. We know that Jesus is coming. We don't know the day. We don't know the hour. But Jesus is coming. It may be tonight. It could be tonight. It might be tomorrow. I don't know. But you know what? We need to live an expectant life. Every day could be the day that we hear the shout and we are up in the air with the Lord and we shall be with him forever. Amen? So we look ahead. And we also now look within. That's a very important thing to do. It says, therefore, whoever eats this bread, drinks the cup of the Lord, unworthy manner will be guilty of the body, the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself. Check out your heart, man. It says, and let him so eat of the bread and drink of the cup. And here's what, tonight, one specific word. As I get the bread and be prepared to celebrate with you, I want to give you three scriptures. And this is what I want you, because I feel tonight in my heart that maybe when we go through things, the devil tries to put junk in our minds, doesn't he? That the Lord is not going to answer your prayer this time, or, you know, he always wants you to look at self and not look at God. And so maybe tonight, maybe it's only one person. Maybe they're here. Maybe you're listening live. I don't know. But maybe you feel, whether you're young or whether you're old, that God has forsaken you. May I give you three scriptures tonight before we partake of the bread and the cup? You know, when Moses was speaking to the second generation, Joshua was now going to take over, remember? And he was the second generation of the children of Israel who were going to go into the promised land. He's starting to give his farewell speech, and he says, you know, I'm 120 years old today. He says, I can no longer go in. I can no longer go out. And he talks about Joshua is now going to take you into the promised land. I can't go. The Lord has shown me that I cannot enter, but he's going to show it to me. And he says, listen to what Moses says, 120 years old. He said, be strong, be of good courage. Do not fear nor be afraid of them, meaning the enemies in the promised land, because they had to go and take it, remember. Here it comes. For the Lord your God, he is the one who goes with you. When you leave here tonight, he's going with you. Whenever you wake up, you go home and you go and have your milk and cookies or whatever you have before you go to bed, that cold piece of chicken, I don't know. Can I tell you what? He's right there when you lay your head upon your pillow. The promises of God is a soft pillow, loved one. Amen. It makes the pillow soft and the bed warm. Listen, Moses said, the Lord, he's going to go with you. He's going to be with you tomorrow. He's going to be with you tomorrow night. He is with you always. Do you understand me? Oh, before we take of the bread, before we take of the cup, we want that embedded in our heart. He says, he's the one who goes with you. He will not leave you. He will not forsake you. What a great word. And then whenever Joshua, there he goes, you know, in the book of Joshua, and now the Bible says, now Moses, the servant of the Lord, is dead, and he calls Joshua. And he says, you're going to have to take the children of Israel into the land, which I promised to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And he says this, he says in Joshua 1:5, the Lord speaking to Joshua, no man shall be able to stand against you or before you all the days of your life. What a promise. He says, oh, as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. And here it comes again. I will not leave you nor forsake you. Do we have that promise? Yes, we do. Hebrews 13:5. For he himself has said, meaning God, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. God cannot lie, loved one. Christian, listen to me. What God promises to one believer, he promises to all believers. Amen? You see, all of us, well, you know, but Bill, I'm not. No, no, no. God is no respecter of persons. God said, I will never leave you. He's with you tonight. He's with you in every pain, everything you go through in this life. When you're young and when you're old, God is with you. He'll never leave you. He will never forsake you. Spurgeon said this, there is nothing you can want. There is nothing you could ask for. There is nothing that you can need in time or eternity which is not contained in this text. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Father, as we come to you tonight, as we've looked back, we've looked ahead, we've looked within, Lord God, our sins are as far as the east is from the west. You remember them no more, and we're not going to remember them. But what we remember is this, that you will never, never leave us. Never. You will never forsake us. So, Lord, tonight as we hold the bread, we hold the cup, we're so thankful. Oh, Lord Jesus, as we celebrate your table, this temporary table, because one day you're coming back. But we know that you are here with us, Lord. And we give you praise. We give you thanks. For indeed, you are our bread of life. Let us partake of the bread in Jesus' name. Father, we thank you for the cup of the new covenant. We thank you that the blood of Jesus has not only cleansed us from all sin and continually cleanses us from all sin, but his blood has provided a way all the way to the throne of grace into the holiness, holiest of all. And Lord God, as we stand in your presence and celebrate your table, as children of God, Lord, I pray that right now, as we remember all that Jesus has done, that we embed in our hearts, whether we are young or old, that promise that you will never leave us. We're never alone. As a promise, Lord, it's binding, it's eternal, and that you will never forsake us. You will never we'll never be without your support. So, Father, we love you, we praise you, and Jesus, thank you for all that you've done for us. And tonight, we partake of the cup together as a family of God. In Jesus' name, let us partake. Father, we just thank you tonight for all that you've done, all that you're doing. I pray, Father, tonight over every need that is in this building, in this chapel, every person, Lord, whatever their needs, their highs, their lows, their hurts, their in-betweens, whatever it might be, their doubts, their loneliness, whatever is there, their uncertainty, whatever it might be, Lord, send them home tonight with that word that you will never, never leave them, nor will you ever forsake your people. Oh God, we love you for that. We praise you now in the mighty name of Jesus. And the church says,